Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Boy, we needed some fuel, but today's prices, Jesus. Prices keep going up. I gassed up Saturday. It was $4.35 a gallon. In 2 days, 2 days now, they're at $4.55 a gallon. Now, one of the stations, before the hike went to $4.69 a gallon. But when the truck stopped, went to $4.55, they backed it off. So, and then we got three right at the exit of the interstate where I'm at, and the truck stop dictates with the Circle K, and it was a Love's truck stop. The Circle K and the BP does. But, you know, come on, man. Don't get me started. I want to apologize for all the listeners here who follow They Still Live podcast. Poor Jeff went to post this past Sunday's episode that we taped. They told him he was banned from uploading it for 1 week due to an episode they pulled down a couple weeks ago that aired, believe it or not, episode 31. Now, I can go to episode 30 or 32 and find out when that is. As a matter of fact, They Still Live podcast. Take the sound off so nothing there. Okay, episode 52 was 8 months ago. Okay, so that ought to give you an idea. So episode 31. Okay, I'm still scrolling back to 60. So we want episode 31. So I'm at 46, 40. They're all numbered. Some have names with them. And episode 36 was a year ago. Oh, wow. Episode 26, Diana Catterton. I had fun with that one. Poor girl won't come back on. 27, 28. So we're looking at a year ago. All right. 1 year. There's 30. 1 year ago. Medical misinformation. I guess we were talking about, actually I could talk about this. Because this isn't YouTube, I'm not giving medical information. We were talking about the Rona. This is before I even had it. But they pulled this down a couple of weeks ago for something that was a year ago. And banned the upload for 1 week of the newest episode. WTF. Episode 77, which was 4 weeks ago, was Jeff had a little hiatus, played Mr. Dale Earnhardt back in the day. Well, but now, he not be allowed to post for, I wonder if we're going to ban that one. But anyway, have no fear, TSL viewers. We might be looking to go into Rumble. I think you ought to post them on both, really. But What are you going to do? I don't make these rules. I don't know what the hell the problem is with YouTube. They're owned by Google, so. What's that tell you? I don't get political here, so I just wanted to let you all know that if you couldn't find this week's upcoming episode, that's why. We were all set to get back and do one. We hadn't done one in a while, but that's neither here nor there. But anyway, we had all factions of motorsports in action. We had NASCAR. We had IndyCar. We had NHRA with Pro Stock. I got to talk a little bit about the Pro Stock, but let's get to the get the Indy wrap-up out of the way first. They were out at the Chevy Detroit Grand Prix. And Will Power took the checkered flag. Alexander Rossi came home second. Scotty Dixon third. I see some familiar names up front now. Joseph Newgarden fourth. Pato O'Ward fifth. Alex Palou sixth. Marcus Ericsson, our Indy 500 winner, was seventh. Colton Herta eighth. Simone Pagenaud was ninth. And Felix Rosenquist rounds out your top 10. Any ladies? I don't see no. Tatiana Calderon, 23rd. I'd like to see if the lady, and due to contact, finishing last with Graham Rahal. AKA Mr. Courtney Force. I think she has more wins than he does. But she's not racing anymore. They got a kid. Winner speed average was 107.111 mile an hour. Race took an hour 32 minutes and 8.8183 seconds. I don't know who has a clock that goes to that detail. I guess maybe it's a Tag Heuer because that's who sponsors some of the Indy stuff. But margin of victory under caution. One caution for one lap. I guess it was the last lap. Four lead changes amongst four drivers. And that would be Newgarden, Power, Dixon, and Palou. And your points standings. With the win, Will Power overtakes Marcus Ericsson by three. Ericsson was leading after the Indy 500. I guess if you win, I thought it was just for the Indy 500. If you win, you get double points, but who knows. Pato O'Ward was third. Alex Palou, fourth. Joseph Newgarden was fifth. Scotty Dixon, sixth. Alexander Rossi, seventh. Eighth was Simone Pagenaud, Felix Rosenquist, ninth. And rounding out your top ten is Scotty McLaughlin. There's your Indy wrap. Now, let's get to the NHRA. Seeing how our past guests have done. Because we've had quite a few. We'll start with the Top Fuel. Battle for the finals came down to Mike Salinas and Justin Ashley, our former guest. So how did that play out? Mike Salinas has been having one of those years where he was out in the hinterlands and, you know, wasn't one of these independent guys that I guess, made enough to race, but didn't have anything, you know, no wins, barely, might have made the top 10 in points, it's hard to say, on occasion, but this year's a little bit different. He's been having some good runs, he's got some good wins, and making it to the finals, and it's kind of helping his climb up the ladder into the countdown, which is, you know, everything resets for that. And the countdown, you it goes from there. So your number one qualifier was Steve Torrence. You know, he's a defending champ. And, you know, so Justin Ashley was the eighth qualifier. So he got to go against Dan Mercier in round one. Another new person that I, you know, a lot of these names I see for the first time this season. So, but, you know, some of the ones that you've seen around. Anyway, nothing major there. Wasn't even close. It was in Mercier is the ninth qualifier. So you're looking at almost where the ladder separate. So Mercier with a 121 and a 613 with a 9 up against Justin Ashley, who 054, which is reaction time for Top Fuel is pretty good. And wound up with a 613, which is not good. That's not even good for Funny Car. If you were in Pro Stock, that'd be excellent, but he's not running Pro Stock. So Ashley moved on to round two, facing Scott Farley, the 16th qualifier, who happened to go up against the number one qualifier. Get this, Torrence with an 071. Scott Farley with a 332 off the tree. I mean, hands down, that was taking a nap. Or not paying attention, because you don't. That's the worst, I think, the worst reaction time I've ever seen. But anyway, Steve Torrence, though, he had some trouble getting down the track. 581 with a 6. So Farley not getting down the track that good himself with a 4.062 was able to take the win light over Torrence. And in round two, Ashley and Torrence faced off, but Farley never took the light, and Ashley went on to have a 140 reaction, which he had nobody, and a 378 with a 6. And up in the semis, up against Sean Langdon, who has won Top Fuel Championship with Alan Abbey back in the day. And had to make his way through the ranks, went from Alan Abbey, then wound up going to Funny Car and then back up to Top Fuel. So here's where it came down to. Justin Ashley, 080. Sean Langdon, 058. We're talking 3 one-hundredths difference. But Ashley with a 375 and Langdon with a 377 with a 6 wasn't enough to overcome with the hole shot over Ashley. Ashley moves on. Mike Salinas qualified number 3. Like I said, he's been having a hell of a year up against Joe Morrison in round 1. Off the light, it was pretty even. 090 for Salinas, 088 for Morrison. But down the track, it was a 388 for Salinas and a 409. You're talking basically Funny Car ETs. But Salinas takes the win late up in the round two against Leah Pruitt. She beat Tony Schumacher in round one by 0.2 seconds and off the tree by 0.0001 seconds. So what happened there? Salinas 081, 374 with a 6. Leah Pruitt, 380. Sorry, Leah. Didn't get one for your buddy Tony. For your buddy, for your hubby. He owns the team, TSR, Tony Stewart Racing. Running two teams in NHRA, both Nitro. So Salinas goes up against John Force Racing's Austin Prock, who made it all the way to the semis by beating Antron Brown. Not easy to do there. What the? They screwed his ET up. It was 99.999, and Antron was 387. But then he goes up against teammate Brittany Force and pulls the whole shot because he had an 057, she had an 091. And then when it came down to it, he was actually 373 to her 370. He was 3/100 slower, but the fact that he was 4/100 quicker off the tree gave him a 0.01 difference down the track to take the light. And so Austin 069 off the light, Salinas 085 off the light. Prock, 553, Salinas, 386. So up against Justin Ashley, it came down to an actually good battle. Nobody, you know, didn't have tire issues or whatever. Ashley, 071, Salinas, 062, and 378 with a 2 for Ashley. Nothing to see. Nothing wrong with that one, but Salinas had a good 372 with a 9, giving him the win. Loewy T was a 370 with a 2 by Brittany Force. The best reaction was Justin Ashley with an 054, and top speed, Brittany Force. Let's go to the funny cars. We didn't have no pro stock motorcycle in this one, but what I did notice watching, they had a lot of lobsters. I mean, big crates of lobsters. But it doesn't happen that way. But anyway, this battle comes down to Robert Height and Matt Hagen. Matt Hagen, a former champ. Robert Height, a former champ. You know, we have two... top-tier individuals. Hagen, from not too far from me in Christiansburg, and Robert Height is one of those California dudes, and he's the president of John Force Racing. He's married to one of John's daughters. I think John had a lot of daughters. Anyway, number one qualifier was Hagen, and Robert Height qualified... number three, so both started near the top. Let's follow Robert. I mean, I have his part of the ladder in my face. Up against Corey Lee, round one. 108 for Height, 043 for Lee, but 432 versus a 452. Tenths is a big difference than Hunterth's. So Height takes the win. And up against the Alexis DeGioia, former guest of the show. Actually, so was Height back in the NJC days. And yeah, Alexis and Robert were, since I moved here, I had them on the same day when Alexis beat Robert. And I had them on in that order. But anyway, Alexis up against Tim Wilkerson. Made it up against Height, 074 for Height, 106 for Alexis. It didn't help. I think if she would have got a better jump, she might have had a chance, but 393 for height, 398 for Alexis. Still in height up against Ron Capps. Oh, 49 for Capps with a 4092. Oh, 64 for height, but a 392 with a 7. So height moves to the finals, and number one, Matt Hagen, 128 against Dale Creasy. Not a good jump, but 407 for Hagen, 1028 for Creasy. Hagen went unopposed in the second round because there was no number two and number 15. Number two was John Force, so he went up against 13 in another part of the ladder. So left Hagen unopposed. So he went up against J.R. Todd in the semis. 467 with an 052 for Pedregon. Todd with a 401 with a 9 and 068. Gets the win late over Pedregon. And then up against Hagen, it's an 062 to an for Hagen, 054. For Todd, a 396, and Todd had a 398, so the 100th tree difference didn't make up for the 2/100th ET difference. And in the final, 040 for Hagen, 059 for height. Now, they faced each other three times this season, and height has beaten Hagen every time. So let's see. 040, I said, for Hagen, 059. 392 with a 2 for Hagen. Robert Height had issues. 623 with a 2. So Hagen gets the win, another win for his boss, Tony Stewart. I think Hagen's having a kick-ass year, but with the new team, which is good. You get picked by Tony Stewart, so you got to perform good. Because you have a guy who's won championships as a driver in IndyCar and NASCAR. What if he's going to pop himself? I don't know. If he'd pop himself into a dragster. Who thought Jimmy Johnson would go from NASCAR to IndyCar? But anyway, neither here nor there. The pro stock round comes down to Erica Enders and Aaron Stanfield, both teammates with Elite. Erica qualified third. Aaron qualified fifth. So Aaron up against Troy Coughlin Jr., a teammate in round one. 028 for Stanfield, 653. 045 for Coughlin, 1384. Ooh, that's major problems there. That's not just tire spinning. Then up against Derek Kramer in round two. 036 for Stanfield off the light. 044 for Kramer. Kramer 655. Stanfield 653. So he had all the way around there. Then up against Fernando Quadra Jr., 021 for Quadra, 030 for Stanfield, but the ET was the big difference, 657 for Stanfield, and 1191 for Quadra. Erica, on the other hand, up against Kenny Delco, an 073. for Erica, but Kenny Delco, red light, minus 013, so didn't need to react crazy there. 651 with a 657, but like I said, when you hit the red light off the start, the ET is just for personal, see what the car did. Round two. Erica Enders versus Greg Anderson. Seven-time champ versus four-time champ. Greg Anderson, in famous last words, I don't want to be that guy. That guy losing to Erica Enders for her first NHRA Pro Stock win. And guess what happened? He was that guy. So I guess there's a little rivalry going on because she made some big strides from when she started till now, which really, if you go back on the scheme of things, might have been 7-8 years. So, but 009 off the light for Erica, 030 off the light for Anderson. Nothing to sneeze at. Anderson, 651 with a 5. Erica, 653 with a 6. ET-wise, you would think it was Anderson. But such a big gap off the tree gave Erica a hole shot. And moved her into the semis against Mason McGahey. McGahey, minus 002, kind of took it easy going down the track, knowing he red lit. Erica, 011, knows that he red lit. 926. I think she blew a clutch out, too, from what I said. They said, yeah. So she didn't have a good run, but when your competition is disqualified, it's helpful. In the final, Erica, 037. Aaron, 067. Stanfield, 655 with a 3. Is it enough? Erica, 654 with a 7. So, no, Erica takes the win. Her fourth win in 6 races this season. Low ET, 651 with a 5. It was Anderson against Erica. And then best reaction was 003, Quadra Jr., and then top speed, Mason McGahey. Yeah, something don't look right there. 818 miles an hour? Nah. I think there something went wrong. All right, let's check standings real quick. Unofficial points following the New England Nationals. So Brittany Force leads Mike Salinas by 30, but, you know, that's 2 rounds. Steve Torrance is third, 99 back. Justin Ashley, fourth, 107 back. Austin Prock is fifth. Clay Milligan, sixth. Josh Hart, our other guest from the Top Fuel genre class this year, seventh. Doug Kalita, eighth. Sean Langdon, ninth. And Tony Schumacher is in the top 10. And hard to believe it, but Antron Brown in 11th. Leah Pruitt, 12th. What? He might have a new team as well. Peter Don Schumacher only kept one vehicle. It had to be Tony. But, yeah. It's a lot of So Schumacher had a boatload of teams in every division, I think, except Pro Stock. But as far as the nitro cars, onto the funny car, Matt Hagen bumps Robert Height down to take the lead after his win. Still 41-point difference. It looks like a two-car race. That's two rounds right there. It's 10 points around. It's 20 points around. Ron Capps third. John Force fourth. They're above 100 out. Cruz Pedregon fifth. J.R. Todd sixth. Bob Tasca seventh. Alexis Fajori eighth. Ninth, Chad Green. And rounding out your top 10 is Tim Wilkerson. Pro Stock. I know who's on top of that one, but it's Erica Enders, the guy she beat in the finals. Aaron Stanfield is in second. 108 points back. That's like two events as opposed to like two rounds. Kyle Koretsky, third. You know, he's further away. Dallas Glenn, fourth. Mason McGahey, fifth. Greg Anderson, sixth. Camry Caruso, seventh. She's moved up the ladder a bit. Eighth, Bo Butner. Ninth, Derek Kramer. Tenth, Troy Coughlin Jr. And 7 points behind him in 11th is Fernando Quadra Jr. So there's your bubble round right there. Next event will be June 17th. Not this weekend, but the weekend after, they'll be at the Thunder Valley Nationals in Bristol, Tennessee. Right next to the world's fastest half mile. So that'll be in my neck of the woods. I can go down if the price of gas wasn't so high. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. All righty. On to NASCAR. Everybody's in action. The Xfinity Series was in Portland. The Truck Series and the Cup Series were at Gateway, or the Worldwide Technology Raceway. So let's start with the Truck Series. Corey Heim takes the win. The rookie this year, Christian Ecke second. Chandler Smith. This is not a road course. Portland's a road course. Chandler Smith third, Stuart Friesen fourth, fifth, Johnny Sauter, Matt DiBenedetto sixth, seventh, Derek Krause, Ben Rhodes eighth, Zane Smith ninth, rounding out your top 10, Chase Purdy, Haley Deegan 15th, good run for her. Sorry for the cat noise in the back. And that rounds out your top 10. The race took 2 hours, 23 minutes, 14 seconds. Your stage winners were Chandler Smith took stage 1. Ben Rhodes took stage 2. Average speed, 86.397. And it ended under caution. This is Corey's second Truck Series win. There are 11 cautions for 54 laps. 11 lead changes amongst 9 drivers. Check the points. The points, Ben Rhodes leads the points with a win over Chandler Smith has a win. Zane Smith has 3. John Hunter Nemechek in 4th with a win. Stuart Friesen with a win. In 5th, and Christian Eckes in 6th. 7th, Ty Majeski, Carson Hocevar, 8th. Matt Kraft in 9th, and Grant Enfinger. No wins there. Corey Heim is in 18th, and he has 2 wins. So if he's running for points, he's probably locked in. How many starts did he have? Corey Heim. Went too far down. 6 starts. So he might not be running for. It's pretty good if he's got 2 wins and 6 starts, though, and he's got 5 playoff points. So he is accruing those. That's usually a sign there. Running for it. Let's go check our winner. Corey Heim.
We're joined by today's race winner. You could tell us a little about today's race.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very easygoing race for us today in the Toyota 200, and we qualified on the pole. Great effort there for us at Cowbush Motorsports, and really just maintained a really clean race all day. I feel like one of my issues throughout the year has been really just running up front and then something kind of going wrong on my end, and it cost me in the long run. So my mindset today was really just to try to stay up front and stay out of trouble and kind of get myself in position at the end there, and that's exactly how it played out. So can't thank those guys at Cowbush Motorsports. My JBL Tundra 280 Pro was phenomenal today.
Great. Well, we'll open it up for questions. Start right here in the front. Steve Connolly, the podium finish. Corey, talk me through that last restart, because, I mean, your truck looked good all day, but on that final restart, it just looked like you had an extra gear and just shot to the front and pulled away. Was it the clean air that you really needed?
100%. I feel like the track was a little bit one-dimensional in that factor as far as, you know, aero is pretty much everything, and I saw a lot of pit strategy throughout the day that led to some cars or trucks being up front, and their speed maybe not been, you know, great, but they kind of, you know, played some pit strategy with it and kind of got up front when they needed it. So we never really messed around with that too much, and I think it really worked out for us. But on the last restart there, I felt like it was definitely a gift to get the bottom right there, and my teammate being right behind me, Chandler's been a phenomenal pusher all year. You know, he kind of helped me win that race at Atlanta earlier this year as well. So, you know, can't thank him enough for that push, and we raced it out to the end right there.
Go over to Lee.
Hey, Corey. When we talked to you at the Toyota R&D Center, you said you had to make the most of your opportunity since you were running a limited schedule. Is there any better way to do that than to win?
No, not at all. You know, pole and a win, is you can't really ask for much more there. Definitely got to make the most of every opportunity considering, you know, I have 16 starts this year, and each and every one counts compared to someone who's running full-time. Of course, I get the majority stake of the schedule, and I feel like that's definitely a blessing. But at the same time, you know, it's a limited schedule, and I got to make the most of every opportunity.
We'll go to Reed. Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. Were you surprised that you got the front row for that final restart?
Yeah, 100%. I thought the 19, you know, as aggressive as he is in past races and for how much, you know, he needs a win right now, I felt like he was going to take the front row on the bottom if the 98 went to the top, in which he did. But he left it wide open, and I had no hesitation whatsoever to go to the bottom, and it was on from there.
Any additional questions? Oh, well, Corey, congratulations on the day. We'll see you next week.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
There you have Corey Heim, your Truck Series winner at Gateway. All righty, Aphrodite. Let's go to Xfinity. A.J. Allmendinger used to be a road course specialist back in the day. A guy that was brought in to run road courses for cup teams is now running full-time in NASCAR, well, has been. And his road course experience still hasn't hurt him because he takes the win in a rain-soaked race. I mean, there was spraying and windshield wipers. This is the Xfinity Series. They run treaded tires. Windshield wipers. So it was a pretty sloppy event. But, you know, it's a road course, so that's what happens. Myatt Snyder came home second. Allmendinger led twice for six laps. Led at the right time. Myatt Snyder was second. Austin Hill was third. Josh Berry came in fourth. He was your winner last week. Justin Allgaier was fifth. Daniel Hemric sixth. Ty Gibbs started out hot, cooled off a little bit. He's seventh. J.J. Yeley eighth. Ninth, Noah Gragson. And rounding out your top ten is Alex Ladd. The race was 3 hours, 1 minute, and 21 seconds long. Average speed, 48.88. miles an hour. Yes, well, it was raining. Margin of victory, 2.879 seconds. It really wasn't raining at that particular point, but it was a sloppy day. AJ's win was the 12th Xfinity Series victory. There were 9 cautions for 26 laps. And 8 lead changes amongst 6 drivers. Who's the 31 car? Myatt Snyder. Treetop. Chevrolet. A.J. Allmendinger. The 16 car. Nutrien AG Solutions Chevrolet. Why am I bringing that back up? There's your first place and your second place winners. Finishers. Coming home. Get this. Last week from my day job, which is at night, it was Wednesday, I think. What do I see heading for the weigh station up I-77 from Charlotte? Because it's a straight shot. The haulers for the 16 and the 31. How ironic is it that they were in reverse order going up the interstate than where they finished? Out in Portland. So I just thought I'd throw that little tidbit in there. You know, I do see car haulers, depending on where they're going up I-77. I've seen Robert Heitz haulers. I see NASCAR haulers, some other race team haulers. If I wasn't driving, I'd be taking pictures of them. But, you know, got to keep the hands on the wheel. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, I take the points. Almendinger's been having a pretty good year, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's in a battle for a championship this year. Was he is racing, you know, and he leads the points. He's got two wins, so that's good. Ty Gibbs has three in second. Noah Gragson with two in third. Josh Burry with two in fourth. So your top four guys are locked in with wins. Actually, Allgaier in fifth and Brandon Jones in sixth. They're locked in with a win, too. Sam Mayer in seventh doesn't, but Austin Hill has one in eighth. Ninth is Daniel Hemric. 10th, Landon Castle, Riley Herbst, and Ryan Sieg are your top 12 playoff eligible drivers. So, let's hear from our winner, the Dinger. And see what he had to say.
Green, the start was really strange because we had to go to the back just from qualifying yesterday, working on the car. So, you know, they require all of us to, you know, require us to let all the cars go when nobody would pass. Well, by the time they were going green, we were half a lap behind them. So I panicked and tried to catch them and went sailing off through turn 10 there, and I thought I destroyed the nose of the car. So I was in the pits before I ever took the green flag and went a lap down, and hell, I think I went off three or four more times. So I'd never imagined all the mistakes I made to be able to get back up front like that. But, you know, that's what I love about this race team is that Matt Collard and Chris Rice and all the men and women, you know, they're always here to pump me up. I'm super hard on myself, and especially these road course races, and I felt like I was just letting us completely down throughout the course of the race. So very frustrated myself. And, you know, once we got back up front there, I said it in my mind that with everything that I had done to cause us to lose this race, I was going to do everything I could to make sure we won it. And got a good restart there. Myatt did a great job. It was a great battle. I knew if I could get in the lead, I could kind of dictate him and, you know, just kind of pray for no more yellows because we weren't really good on the brakes. So restarts were kind of tough and things like that. So just quite unbelievable, honestly.
All right, we'll go ahead and open it up to questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand.
Luis Torres, the podium finish. With that in mind, you mentioned about keeping emotions in check. When it comes to the last couple of races, when it had those couple cars in front of you, and how vital was it to get in that scenario to avoid the madness that obviously eliminated guys like Lally, Allgaier, and plenty of others from winning?
Yeah, I mean, in these conditions, you know, it's hard as you're making the mistakes, but you know in your mind that it's, especially when it's that slick, it's easy to make a mistake and you start getting restarts, and especially late in the race, everybody starts kind of dive-bombing and trying to push as hard as they can. So just in my head, I kept trying to think, as frustrated as I was getting with myself, that, you know, we still have an opportunity. You know, the car wasn't the best, but if we got up front, I got confidence in myself that I can go make it happen when we have to do it. So, yeah, I mean, it was just chaos and mistakes started happening. You know, it's always the first stage is pretty easy going, but you start getting restarts in the second stage and as you get in the third stage and things start happening. So just about trying to keep yourself in it.
And a follow-up, how neat is it to not only just be a winner in the Grand Prix, but now here, considering this is the first time the national level has been in the Northwest in over two decades?
Yeah, I mean, it's just that's what was cool under yellow and after the race. I mean, the place is packed. It was really cool to see. Obviously, we wish we probably had a little better weather for all the fans, but, you know, that's what racing up in the Northwest is like. You know, there's always opportunities of rain, so it was cool to see how packed this place was, just trying to get in here, of how many people are in here. And, you know, Portland's always been a special place to me. I won my first Champ Car race here 16 years ago this month on Father's Day. My dad was here today. He was here on Father's Day 16 years ago. So to be able to, A, still be a part of motorsports 16 years later. Be with a great team like College Racing that allowed me to be who I am, and know that when I'm pissed off, it's because I care and I'm mad at myself. And to be able to win the first race, you know, there's only one chance to win your first race, win the first race of a series like this at a place. So, you know, we were able to do that. So just special for a lot of reasons.
Where are we going?
Yeah. St. Louis tomorrow? Yeah.
There's a golf cart there, but it's raining.
Well, there you have A.J. Allmendinger on his win. Inaugural event at Portland. So, talking about how he won his first Champ car, Champ, which is Championship Auto Racing Teams cart, was back in the day, which kind of replaced the original IndyCar series was USAC, United States Auto Club. Then it evolved into Championship Auto Racing Teams, and then it went to, they split, and you had Indy Racing League and CART. But the thing with Indy Racing League, that was founded by Tony George, who owned Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and he was, I guess, getting tired of all the road course drive, and so the IRL was a strictly oval track American series. And if you wanted to run the Indy 500 as somebody who ran the Champ Series, you know, then you had to build a car that met the IRL specs. And a lot of them did that. And then for some reason after another, I don't know what happened, but both series were losing money. They decided to merge, and now you have what you have. And it's back to a lot of road courses and European drivers. I mean, back in the IRL days, you had Tony Stewart, Sam Hornish Jr., you know. But give Hornish some credit. He did win an IndyCar championship in the later years of the series after they had remerged with CART, because you know, his teammate was Elio Castroneves. They both drove for Roger Penske, and needless to say, Sam, who went on to drive for Penske in NASCAR, fell short of winning a championship in said Xfinity Series. Somehow Austin Dillon wound up getting that one, which I think, I don't know what happened there, but I think it was a NASCAR thing. They pulled one of them wacky stunts where, oh, let's just throw a yellow out and close the field up again. But Sam was always, Sam always came on the show, so we have some decent conversation. I don't know what he's doing now. Might reach out. He does have a Facebook page, but I used to be friends with him on Facebook. I used to be friends with a lot of these people on Facebook. They just do it back before they got their regular public pages, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, let me get back to the Cup Series. It was going to look like a battle of the Bushes, but you had Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, Kurt Busch. Well, Joey Logano did take the win. Kyle Busch wound up second. There was a lot of passing going on in overtime with a last lap. I think Logano and Kyle passed each other twice. So, it wound up that Joey was able to get the lead and pull away, and Kyle Busch wound up second. Kurt was third, Ryan Blaney fourth, Arik Almirola fifth, Martin Truex Jr. sixth, seventh, Eric Jones, Ross Chastain in eighth. I saw a clip of him with Jamie Little. He was apologizing for something. Christopher Bell ninth, and AJ Allmendinger, who made it all the way to St. Louis, along with Justin Haley in a 31 car. So I'm wondering, and it's the same sponsor, so which colleague teams that I see going up the highway? Was it? Well, obviously, the 16 car was Allmendinger's on both counts. It's the 31 that was either Snyder or Haley. Which one of those two? But leaf filter, gutter protection, Chevrolet. I don't remember. I have to go back and look at the other stat. Because it was on the side of the truck who the sponsors are, of course. Anyway, your stage winners were Kurt Busch, stage two, Austin Cindric, who started second, took the first stage. Good for him and get somebody in there. 3 hours, 7 minutes, 34 seconds. And average speed, 97.965. Margin of victory, 6.55. Logano's 29th Cup Series victory with that. 10 cautions for 53 laps. 12 lead changes amongst 9 drivers. Well, being had a load of stats today, I'm not going to go with the points wrap-up or the audio because they don't have the winner separate. So, anyway, that's our show for today. I'm your host, Vinny B. Good day and good racing. Bye now.